So, Rachel, could you talk about Topacio Reynoso?
Topacio Reynoso Pacheco was a 16-year-old community organizer, artist, and musician and poet from Matakiscuintla in Jalapa, Guatemala. And she was the youth coordinator of the youth resistance movement to a large mining project in her area. It's called the Escobal Project. And that mining project is being run by Canadian mining company Tahoe Resources and is also 40% owned by a different Canadian mining company called Goldcorp. On April 13th, while Topacio was walking home from a meeting with her father, Alex, who was also a mining resistance organizer, armed assailants opened fire on both of them, and Topacio was killed, and her father, Alex, remains in critical condition in the hospital.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what kind of activism she was involved in?
Sure. So Topacio was the coordinator of the youth resistance movement in the area. Resistance to this, the Escobal project has been very, very strong in Jalapa and in really all of the municipalities around the mine, to the extent that Tahoe actually sued the Guatemalan government to demand that they do more to protect the mines. This was the company's sort of response to the resistance that has happened. In Matakiscuintla, which is where Topacio lived, over half of the eligible voters in the area participated in a community referendum in which over 96% voted against the mining. So a lot of the organizing in this area has looked like educating the local population and bringing about democratic processes to assess whether people consent or do not consent to this mining project. And it's been very clear, over 10,000 people have voted against this mine.
Why is the resistance necessary? Why are the Guatemalan and Canadian government not doing anything about this?
Well, I wish I could say that Tahoe Resources or even Goldcorp was just one bad apple, but unfortunately what we've seen is that there is an industry-wide problem. Over 70% of mines around the world are actually owned by Canadian companies. And what these companies know is that in countries like Guatemala, they can act with complete impunity. There are currently no laws in Canada that govern what a Canadian mining company can do overseas. So in a place like Guatemala, where the rule of law is very weak and where the judicial system doesn't really work, they frankly can get away with murder, and they know it. They know that they can get away with running a mining project against the will of the people and in whatever way they want. That said, there are very, very strong resistance movements on the ground that are trying their best to exert sovereignty over their land and to make sure that no foreign company can just bulldoze in and harm their livelihoods, spread in local populations, or contaminate waterways.
Is this the first time that this happens, that someone is killed this way in the context of anti-mining activism?
Unfortunately, even in the context of this very mine, this is not the first person who has been assassinated. A year ago, four Xinka parliament leaders, so the Xinka are a non-Mayan indigenous group in the region, so four leaders from their parliament were kidnapped a year ago, and one of them was later found dead, and the other three escaped with their hands tied behind their backs. So that was another person who was killed while resisting Tahoe's Escobal project. In other parts of Guatemala, there are other Canadian mining projects that have also caused huge amounts of destruction and have brought tons of violence in their wake. To give maybe just another example, Hud Bay Minerals is a Canadian company that used to own a mine up in the northeast part, the Izabal region of Guatemala. And they are actually the first Canadian company to be brought to court in Canada for actions that happened overseas. And what they're being sued for here in Canada is for the rape of 11 women during a forced eviction that happened to clear way for their mine and for the murder of a local community leader, Adolfo Ich Shaman. So this is a terrible incident that happened, a terrible series of incidents that have happened over five decades in that region with Canadian mining companies involved. But we've been very excited to have this precedent-setting court case begin here in Canada, because it'll be one way that communities can begin to seek justice where the decisions around these mining projects are really made, which so often is right here where I'm based in Toronto.
What kind of actions were held here in Canada in support of Topacio's community?
Well, just a few days ago, we held a memorial here in Toronto, and we decided that we had to do something here because Goldcorp was having their annual general meeting on that very day, and they have an office right here in Toronto. And so we decided that the best way that we could both commemorate the loss of this young, vibrant woman while also holding accountable the companies that are causing this violence to come about was to hold this memorial right on the steps of Goldcorp's building. So that's what we did, and everybody brought flowers, we lit candles, we shared recording of one of her own poems, some of her favorite music, and we gathered together really to mourn the loss of this activist and to strengthen our resolve to continue to act in solidarity with these communities.
What are the steps to take to hold accountable Goldcorp and other mining companies responsible for human rights abuses like this?
We've tried to act in a number of different ways. One thing that is happening right now is the Open for Justice campaign, which a number of different organizations and collectives all across Canada have signed on and are working as part of. And this campaign is seeking to actually put in place an ombudsperson at the federal level to ensure that there is someone within the Canadian government who is paying attention to what these mining companies are doing and hopefully has real power to actually begin the process of holding them accountable. This Open for Justice campaign is also seeking to open Canadian courts more readily for the types of court cases like the one I mentioned before where Hudbay is being tried here in Canada. That's been very difficult. So the idea is that if Canadian companies know that they'll have to speak for their actions in a Canadian court, that will really change the game and it'll really limit the impunity that they're working with. We've also in the past worked with, so this year I just talked about some protests and some actions that we've done outside of annual general meetings of companies, but in the past we've also advanced shareholder resolutions within these shareholder meetings as a different way of trying to pressure a company, for example, to set aside enough money for cleanup costs for a mine, or to promise to take certain environmental considerations into account. And finally, I think that raising consciousness among Canadians is a task that is really important. I think very few Canadians actually do realize that we're absolutely the leader in the mining industry worldwide and that Canada is really developing a very poor reputation in many parts of the world because of these mines. Certainly in rural Guatemala, I would not advise anyone to put a Canadian patch on their backpack, because Canada is really known for the destruction of communities, for causing divisions, for violence, and for environmental contamination.
And is Canada doing this for a good reason? I mean, is mining even necessary?
What always strikes me the most is the question of gold, which is, so in Guatemala, the largest mine in the country is a huge open-pit gold mine. It's called the Marlin Mine, and it's owned 100% by Goldcorp. And when I speak with community members about how they're extracting gold, it's impossible to wrap your head around the amount of destruction and waste that is caused to extract a mineral that we don't even need. Over 90% of gold that is extracted now goes towards the production of jewelry or towards gold bars being used as financial instruments. There is more than enough gold that is already above ground on the planet to meet all of our productive gold needs, all medical uses, all electronic uses forever. And gold is actually a very cool metal in that it can be recycled infinitely. So it adds an extra element of poignancy, and it just makes it even harder to realize what the effects of mining this metal are, to know that we don't even need it.
Thanks. Would you like to add anything?
Yeah, one thing I would like to add is that while it's definitely true that Canadian companies act with greater impunity overseas and know that they can get away with causing more destruction and bringing more violence, it is also true that these same Canadian companies are often operating in Canada and often are harming Indigenous communities right here in our own country. So I think it's important that we look at this industry on the whole and that we understand that for many communities, both in Canada and abroad, these companies are seen as a new wave of colonization that's coming in and that is stealing land. So the violence with which it's brought about in Guatemala is particularly striking, but the same patterns play out here in Canada.
Where could the listeners find more information about this or get involved if they want?
I organize with the Mining Injustice Solidarity Network, and we can be found online at mininginjustice.org.
Thank you very much for talking to me, Rachel.
Thank you so much.